This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This year is my conversation with our health director, Kathleen Liberty. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We discussed the current COVID status, vaccine planning, and the health prescription or pantry prescription pilot project that she's putting together. We also discussed mental health status, particularly in this pandemic period, and how to deal with emotions. And since this is the last session of 2020, we also look back, finding one thing to be grateful for, and look ahead. What does 2021 hold? Our conversation runs around 35 minutes. So let's listen into my conversation with Kathleen Liberty, our Franklin Health Director. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM anywhere on the internet, and 102.9 on the local area Franklin radio dial. Another session with our health director, Kathleen Liberty. Kathy, happy Hello. Thursday. It's good to talk to you today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here with you, Steve.
The world is getting white as we speak, but health still matters no matter what it brings to us.
Right.
So starting in on kind of the current events without getting into some of the specific details, because again, we want to kind of keep this green and people can listen to it anytime, but we've had some high points and low points on COVID, but so far so good. We haven't really gone into kind of the real bad zone, if you will, numbers wise. So that's at least kudos to everybody for participating, doing the health protocols, masks, distancing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, for the town, town residents, I think that for the most part, they're doing really well. Food establishments are in compliance. You know, we look at our numbers every week through the public health nurse. She prepares a spreadsheet every week and shares the total number of cases since this all started, the number of cases that are closed, and the number of people or cases that are still in isolation. So as you know, that's how we break it down. And so we have come down since last week. I think it was at 126, it could have been 136, and we're down to 90, 96, 98. I'm not sure, I should have looked at the numbers before.
90 but plus is sufficient.
90 plus, yeah. Yeah, so we're down a lot since last week. So I think we've seen the Thanksgiving spike already. And it's kind of interesting. I was just on a webinar with MHOA, Massachusetts Health Officer Association. And one county in Massachusetts did an age breakdown of the last 2 weeks, which would have been from Thanksgiving to about a week or two after. And they actually drilled down the age category from 19 to 34 years old to kind of look at the age profile. And the age profile that they captured the most high number of cases were ages 5 to 18 and 50 to 64. And then it kind of came down to 35 to 49, 29 to 34. So we're still kind of seeing overall, but we're still seeing, you know, younger cases. I want to say the good thing about seeing younger cases is that, you know, kids, as the governor says a lot at his briefings, that children aren't really transmitters, you know, so it would be, you know, the parents giving it to the children, probably, you know, that would be the most logical case. What I am seeing a considerably high rate are employees of businesses. Just in 2 days, I had 12 cases in one facility and 9 cases in another. And these are just manufacturing businesses, not right. Assisted living, congregate care, any of those that, as we know, can be clusters. They're not Franklin residents per se, so we're not gonna see that as a cluster. But that concerns me, because what that says to me is that the employers might not be following this Massachusetts safety standards, right, specific for businesses. So somehow, you know, we have to get the message out there to to those businesses. And you know, you and I did that training. You know, I suppose we could mandate every business taking that training again. You know, something I need to talk to the board about. But I'm really, really concerned about that.
Yeah, I think even with the numbers and what we've been hearing in other places, to the extent that it was the 5 to 18 and then the 50 plus, that sounds almost like the demographics of a family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then to your point, in terms of the businesses, and granted, they're not Franklin residents, but it's a Franklin-based business. Yeah, I think it just reinforces that, you know, we have to be careful when closing Thanksgiving. We saw the spike. As we're going into the rest of the holidays closing out this year, you know, family gatherings, work gatherings, any gatherings, mm-hmm. we're going to have to be very careful.
Right.
Distancing, masks, hand washing protocols, et cetera, et cetera. Because this virus is just, you know, prevalent and will do what it needs to do. It knows no bounds. Right. And we just, until we see it, which unfortunately is too late. Now we find out somebody is exposed, tested, and we've already been talking with them for 4 or 5 days, and we're now exposed, and we may be getting it, right?
Yeah, and you know, I hear a lot with, a positive case was with their best friend, and the best friend doesn't, you know, meet the definition of close contact, so. And I say, well, why? You know, why are these people? I know my best friend and I. One of my best friends won't even see me. I mean, that's, she's so strict. Right. Another best friend and I, we actually park. We meet in a parking lot. We park 6 feet apart and we talk. So I really don't feel like that's an excuse. I mean, do I want to hug my best friends? Absolutely.
Sure.
Do I want to hug my son? Absolutely. You know, but you know, those are the, you still have to take precautions, because just because you love someone and you want to be close to them doesn't mean that that virus cares. It's not, you know, it doesn't care that you're best friends.
Unfortunately, love is not an immunity to the virus.
No, it's not. And I know people are tired and they just want to be loved and they want to hug and they want to see their families. And the governor speaks to this all the time. I mean, he suffers with not seeing his father as often as he wanted. And, you know, I get that. And I get Thanksgiving and I get the holidays and I understand what it looks like, but I still think there is light at the end of the tunnel. And next year, you and I are going to be saying, oh gosh, do you remember last year at this mm-hmm. time?
Yeah.
But still, like, until then, until we can make this a memory, we have to be really still very diligent, even with our loved ones.
Yeah. And I think it's a risk. And how much of a risk do you really want to take? And then considering it's your loved ones, immediate families, really? Do you want to put your grandmother in the hospital for something? I wouldn't want to live with that.
Exactly.
So, we're going to have to decide, but be aware. You know, the light may be at the end of the tunnel, and based on the schedules, and maybe they'll change a little bit, but at least by second quarter next year, it sounds like the vaccine will be relatively plentiful for enough people to start getting it. But that means we're still facing 6 months mm-hmm. of continued protocols, right?
Exactly.
And that's one of the things where I've seen some other articles, and I've been sharing those out, that once you get the vaccine, you still need to wear the mask, because if anything, the vaccine makes you less prone, obviously, to the disease itself, but more prone to actually carry it and still spread it to somebody else.
Yeah, and the flu shot, it takes about 2 weeks, not the high dose. The high dose works a little faster, but it takes about 2 weeks so that you're immune, you know, to hopefully to the strains that are mm-hmm. out there. From what I understand, it could be 6 weeks for the COVID-19 vaccine to at least, I'm assuming partially, place you in that immunity part, because you do need a second vaccine.
Right.
You do need a second dose for both Moderna and Pfizer.
Right.
I'm not really sure of the actual logistics, but that's what I've read and my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that reinforces too that this is still a developing scenario. This is still new. That's why it's the Corona novel virus. It is still new. We're still learning as we go, unfortunately. And science is working. It's working and resolving and proving. If tests don't get replicated, then they're not proof. If they get replicated with similar results, okay, that's something we can go by.
So, right, yeah. Right, exactly. So as far as the vaccine planning, I don't have a lot to say about that. We are having our weekly DPH call tomorrow, and I feel that there'll be more information rolled out. You know, initially they talked about four phases. They're looking, DPH is looking at three phases right now. And I believe the vaccines are supposed to be here this week. According to what the governor said, they'll be distributed to major hospitals throughout the state of Massachusetts, who will then distribute to the smaller hospitals. So that's my understanding as of what the governor said last week, but you know, it could change. And then as far as planning in the town of Franklin for our residents, I'm really not sure what that looks like. As of yet, DPH noted that if the local boards of health wanted to hold a vaccine, and this is for the age group, the phase three, if right. There's a phase three, there could be a phase four, that we could volunteer. But I'm sure that just like obtaining any vaccine, you have to have a certain, you know, commercial size refrigerator and you know, all that goes with that. So I'm not really sure what Franklin will want to do, especially where the state's contracted with CVS and Walgreens, you know, currently to provide vaccines. So I guess we'll just have to stay tuned.
Yeah, the situation is certainly developing. The schedule and vaccines are already being shipped. People are already getting vaccinated. Those are all good steps. I believe you do have a plan. So should time come, you do have a plan if necessary to roll it. But yeah, it's going to determine, and clearly at least the first two have some temperature controls on it that are rather strict. Right. From what I've understood, there are other vaccines in the pipeline that don't have those restrictions. So maybe those are available at the time when we're ready and we could use one of those. But
yeah,
stay tuned. Listen to us on a regular basis and find out what's going on.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
I think you had the Board of Health meeting last time had the discussion around the work you're doing on this health prescription.
Yeah, it's called the pantry prescription.
Okay.
And I actually, I love implementing programs, you know. Of course, I probably don't go about it the right way. I don't do a community assessment or anything like that, but I look at other counties outside of Massachusetts where programs have been successful, you know. And I know that, so this particular prescription pantry is, we're starting, meaning my intern, Isabella, we're starting up the pilot program with the senior center. So basically what it is, and I wish I shared, I just started creating the website yesterday, the Google site, wish I shared that with you. What we learned through this pandemic is that people with chronic disease have either stopped seeing their physician, going to the hospital, taking care of themselves because they were fearful that they would get COVID. And so I've been learning through different sources that, you know, chronic disease is getting worse for some people. It is an underlying cause for, you know, getting COVID and you know, getting a severe case of COVID. So I wanted to really look at that and how could we help educate the public, the residents, on how to take care of themselves, you know, to prevent chronic disease or to assist with the people or person with chronic disease. So with this prescription pantry, a person who goes to a doctor, or in this case, we're going to start it with the senior center, who goes to the nurse for blood pressure check or blood sugar check, and those are indicators that there might be some underlying disease, right, or cause, mm-hmm. you know, to be worried about. And so the nurse, you know, will probably, I don't know the logistics yet, will probably interview the person that she's seeing, and noting about their diet. Are they following a healthy diet? Are they getting their fresh produce? Are they getting their fresh fruit? Are they getting their proteins? Are they getting their, you know, their grains? And kind of assessing that. And so what we're going to have, we're going to provide them with a prescription pad, similar to a medical prescription pad, but a little bit cuter, to write down, like, what should they kind of focus on? Do they need more produce? Do they need more vegetables? You know, and just kind of write this down. So now you have a visual, right? So this person has something in their hand, something written, right? So they go, well, you know, maybe I can, you know, maybe I can show this to one of the vendors at the farmer's market in the winter or the summer, or when I go to the food pantry, if that's where I get my food, where can I get more of this produce? You know, the nurse says I need more. How do I go about doing this? So that's kind of how it will start, right? So now we have the prescription pad, we have the patient, and we'll also have a brochure talking about the prescription pantry and what it entails and why. We'll also have a QR code and a link to our Google site, our website. And then on our website, we're going to provide, you know, meal planning tips. We're going to provide recipes. We're going to provide resources, you know, for someone who might need, you know, SNAP or, you know, some other assistance. So those type of resources, and a few more other things on the website that will be beneficial, and kind of, it's a really nice, bright, interactive, you know, not really interactive, but a really nice, bright site where people will probably enjoy, you know, meandering through. So now, because when they bring home their Brussels sprouts, they're going to wonder, what the heck do I do with these? And they're good for me, but how do I cook them? So, I'll go to the site and see if there's something I can look at there. So the whole idea is, because we can't really, you know, get out there, right? The whole idea is just to kind of educate a person by person and have them interact with, you know, the food pantry or the farmer's market, or just know what they got to get and go to the grocery store, which is fine. And so that way we're just kind of taking baby steps to teach people healthy eating and how to go about preparing meals and recipes. So that's kind of the gist of it.
It sounds good. And I'll put a plug in. I had a conversation with Trish Collado, so Patricia, her full name, but she's the nurse at the senior center. So we talked about this, and we can refer people to, I'll put the link in the show notes to that conversation, because she gets into a little bit more. And yeah, she does do the regular blood pressure and blood sugar. She tracks those. So she'll know kind of the trend for a particular person. And if the numbers start going up or down, that's an indication, and she'll get into the questions. And that's what she does in her, you know, interviews with the individuals as they come in and via the schedule. And then, to your point, be able to take that prescription, should she write it out and fill it out, and go to food pantry, farmer's market, you know, maybe other places over time as this continues to further develop.
Yeah, we'd like it to grow. We spoke with a physician, she's actually a medical director, and she was very interested. Of course, you know, comes at a time where everybody, you know, is so swamped that, you know, I wouldn't push it right now, but definitely in this, when things calm down, I'd like to get some physicians on board. So that would be, I don't know, I would like to see it grow and take, you know, become a program that people really enjoy.
Yeah. And I think, to the extent that we've continued to have these conversations, and will, health is certainly core to our life.
Yeah,
and if there's aspects of those daily duties, like eating, let's do so healthily, you know, maybe work at it a little bit, or, you know, as opposed to making good choices if we have to.
Yeah.
You know, eat out or take out or, you know, live on a budget. There are still choices within those.
Right. And that's information too you find on that site. It's not published yet. The site's not published yet. I just sent it to my intern to look at today. So so we'll have, once that's done, we have the prescription pads in, you know, we'll kind of formalize it. We'll publish everything and go from there.
Stay tuned for more info. We'll share it as we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I think, gives us a good segue to another topic related to that. Clearly, we're in the pandemic. Things are happening all over the place. Changes, challenges almost on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, maintaining our mental health is a challenge. You know, how do we deal with our emotions? I think we've even seen some key politicians say, you know, step back, take a deep breath. We need to change the tone of the conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, even at a local level, yes, we do need to.
We do.
It's going to take action on everybody's part to do so.
I think so. And I think it depends on the individual. I know myself, I have to be on all the time, right? I can't be wrong. And, you know, when guiding businesses or guiding the nurses or, mm-hmm. you know, my own, the HR in the municipality, that's a toll. I'm grateful to have the knowledge and to be able to do that. I feel like I do it rather well, but at the end of the day, that's mentally fatiguing. Yeah. So I deal with that, right? A nurse I know had to tell a mother, who was a single mom, has a, you know, a small hairdresser, you know, job, and it's an important job, of course, but, that she had to quarantine, for so many days. And the mother said, you know, you just took Christmas away from my kids. Hmm. So that nurse, you know, felt horrible, right? So that's a horrible feeling, but she's doing her job, same as me. But then you have other people who are completely isolated. You have other people who have lost loved ones during this, whether it's to COVID or just to the flu. You know, mm-hmm. we're still losing people to the flu. You know, and I wanted to talk about that type of grief. And when you have those emotions, right, sadness, anger, you know, grief, what comes with that is anxiety and depression and you know, so many other feelings. And so I thought in talking about that, you know, it might help others say, oh, I'm not alone. And I know that, you know, we've been getting that message out a lot, but I still feel like there are individuals who aren't reaching out, who do need help. And it's okay, because we're all feeling an emotion or a lot of emotions during this pandemic.
And for Franklin, I believe, at least, is fortunate. There's a number of various sources of assistance in a variety of ways. Certainly on the addiction substance abuse front, the SAFE Coalition. There's other sources. Without taxing my brain, but then the individual, to your point, I think we need to recognize it. That's always the first step, and then find something that helps to alleviate it. So even in my role reporting, you know, and I'll attend a Board of Health meeting on December 2nd, yours went, 30-40 minutes, and then I mm-hmm. had dinner and got back to the town council meeting, which went late. At the end of the meeting, I took a walk.
Yeah.
In order for me to sleep well the rest of the day and then to do mm-hmm. the rest of the night and then do, you know, what I needed to do the next day. It's 10-15 minute walk in the neighborhood. Yeah. I was masked, yes. It was dark. Certainly social distancing, but the walk gave me the time so that I could, you know, resolve whatever was happening from the meetings and mm-hmm. calm down and have a deep breath, get some fresh air, and then come back, hit the pillow, had a nice night's sleep, and the next day took off.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this paper right here about stress, and it says, what can you do? And it says, take a deep breath and relax, take a walk, stretch, do a virtual exercise class, which actually I've been doing yoga on YouTube mm-hmm. At the end of the day. You know, chat, video chat and call, reach out to your friends or family. But the most important thing is finding a routine, a daily routine, because that gives you some feeling of organization, you know, and that includes, you know, resting, exercising, mm-hmm. you know, eating regular meals. That's really important. And, you know, if you have to, there's nothing wrong with reaching out to a professional to just know that you can talk to somebody, if not family or friends.
Yeah. Yeah, go beyond the circle of friends you have and reach out to a professional if you need to.
Yeah, but I think the most important thing is, and I wrote this down because I have to do it myself, is cultivating an attitude of gratitude. And I wrote this yesterday in preparing kind of, you know, for our conversation is, you know, despite all the negative things happening in our world right now, it's essential more than ever to look at our lives and reflect what we are grateful for. Practicing gratitude has been scientifically proven to be associated with an individual's well-being and general feelings of happiness and overall mental health. Mm-hmm. And you can have a gratitude journal. When you're walking, you can do a gratitude walk. You know, there's, because we could go down the rabbit hole with loneliness and sadness and depression, all caused from stress, right? Or we can kind of lift ourselves out of it and practice gratitude. So I wanted to just kind of speak to that because I think it's so important to mental health.
It is, I concur. And having been a lifelong runner, lifelong exerciser, and now walking, that is my avenue that has been successful. And I know people, whether dance or yoga that you do, or, you know, there's a variety of things that people can do. Yeah. Find what works for them. Keep at it. Make the time. Because to reinforce without being a physician, and you're not either, but you need that, at least, you know, the body is a machine. So mm-hmm. it needs rest. It needs fuel, the healthy food.
Right.
Because we're social animals, we need some of that social piece. So yeah, Zoom meetings may be tiring, et cetera, but take the break, have a Zoom conversation where you just, you know, actually there's a weekly session with laughter yoga. That happens.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's
so
awesome.
If you need a laughter session, because laughter is great medicine, has been scientifically proven.
Right.
And Franklin Matter shares that link. So you can go to the Laughter Yoga folks. They're Wednesdays, I believe, at 7:30. It's an hour.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And that may work for somebody, right?
It might. And I know even myself, when I come home, I just want to sit on the love seat and rest and then go, you know, make dinner. But I am going directly to my room with my computer and doing my evening yoga. And then what a difference I feel from that mental fatigue, physical fatigue, just, you know, wanting to stare at the TV, to feeling really uplifted, relaxed, mm-hmm. and in a much better place. Right. So I really, not force myself, but I really have to remind myself, remember how good you'll feel after this.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, and a good reason. Yeah,
yeah, there is, I know. Yeah. We don't want to get into that, endorphins and all. Yeah.
So. But I think it gives us a good segue, because this is going to be our last session for the year.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing, it's all of us. I mean, it seems like we just started talking, and then everything happened.
I know.
And now the year's going by. It's like, whoa.
Whoa, it's right. Yeah.
So looking back, I mean, amongst the many things that we've certainly talked about, just one thing you're grateful for.
Well, I'm grateful for a lot, but pertaining to what I do, I have been here a year. This month, December 2nd, was my full 1 year as health director in the town
Happy
of Franklin.
Anniversary.
Thank you. And that is one thing I am grateful for.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Good thing. Yeah. And you even had a meeting on that day.
I did. I know. I was so excited.
At least one. That was a public meeting that I knew of because I was there reporting it.
Yeah. My Board of Health meeting. Yeah. My colleagues, my staff, my town administrator, I say mine, right? The town administrator, they're all mine. No, the staff and colleagues and, the town administrator, the Board of Health members are really special people that I admire and respect, and I'm very, very grateful for their support over the past year. So
good.
That's really good. Yeah.
And I'll share. I'm to the extent Please. That we've done, I think by math, maybe 7, maybe 8, certainly less than 10. We'll call it that.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for your time in having this conversation to share the info. And clearly we've had some pandemic related ones, COVID related mm-hmm. ones. We've had, you know, the ticks and other flu. And, yep. And I'm sure we'll have additional topics going next year, but I'm grateful that you were able to at least take the time. And then I was able to take it, record it, and mm-hmm. share it out so people can get the info, because yeah. we all need it. And
well,
it's a question
you.
Of getting it from the right source. And you're a good source. You're
thank
a trusted
you.
Source.
Thank you.
And then since we did mention looking ahead, other than the vaccine and hopefully plentiful, what does 2021 hold for you? What are you looking for? And again, I'm sure there's multiple things, just one.
Yeah,
a little teaser.
I know. Well, I think normalcy and what that looks like moving forward, because I'm not so sure that we'll go back to the norm that we knew before the pandemic. I do. So I know you said one thing, and that's hard for me.
I'm not going to hold you to it.
Well, I think it's promising. Like, I just feel like
hope.
2021 just feels promising in all areas of my life. I think that's the only thing I can say, promising.
That's good. That summarizes it quickly.
How about you?
Because as we've talked here, and I've talked with Jamie and others, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. Will it go back exactly? In some cases, probably not. And with good reason in many cases.
Right.
The technology is enhanced in some ways. Mm-hmm. Clearly, from the meetings, you're getting more participation in the Board of Health meeting on either Zoom or Google Hangout than you ever had before.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Because the more people get involved, I think the more people will be better behaved around their health choices, et cetera. And clearly, we're not there yet, but we're down that road. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, that plus, you know, we've talked about this before, that public health, we always felt like we worked in the shadows and that we weren't important unless there was a foodborne illness breakout, like from, you know, I forget what chain there was a few years ago that had right. E. coli. And we all feel this way. Every person in public health feels like what we do is we work in the shadows to keep the public safe. And there's nothing wrong with that. We find great pride in doing that. And we don't need to flaunt it because it's the role we choose. So now with this pandemic, public health is out there. I mean, it is a reality, and where all of the information regarding the pandemic has been put on the local boards of health, which we've talked about before, is really me, the health director, right? Mm-hmm. So now people know more about public health and how many hats we wear, how many different hats we wear. By being on Zoom, they'll see that we work in Title V. We provide beaver permits. We inspect houses. Like, you inspect houses? I've been mm-hmm. asked, like, how do you do that?
Right.
You know, we do so much. And so I think that if anything positive came out of our Zoom meetings and having to do this remotely, is that people are more aware of what we do to protect their health in the community.
Yeah, I think it positions us well for, you know, taking that next step. And if anything, I think that'll be my kind of outlook for next year. There's opportunity, and we still need to execute. It's still going to be hard. Nothing was ever easy. The easy stuff, why bother doing it? There needs to be a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying go to the edge. But, you know, within the sandbox, you need to play against those edges of the sandbox. That's where you learn. So let's continue to take those steps a little bit at a time. Think about
right.
it. Be proactive. Coordinate. Collaborate. Don't go it alone. Reach out, as we talked to in terms of the mental health status pieces.
Yeah.
But go forward. Right. I think it's hopeful and promising, to your point. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And the vaccine hopefully will be plentiful. And we'll put masks hopefully away for a bit, but who knows? We'll see what happens.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you for taking your time. I'm sure you've got some other, aside from work and maybe some shoveling because of the weather, some holiday preparations to do. So certainly thank you for your time today, your time this year, and I look forward to 2021 together.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. Me too. And thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.